the beggars there know that the protector is thinking of them." Mugabe watched the servants depart. He wondered what had given him the impression that that man was insincere. The truth supposedly lay in a man's deeds, and that one never behaved as anything less than a totally devoted servant. Soulcatcher stamped into her personal suite. The more she thought about the Nuang Bo, the more enraged she became. What would it take to teach those people? That seemed like something they could work out between them before the sun came up. A night of shadow terror ought, at the very least, to put them into a mood to pay attention. Soulcatcher understood herself better than outsiders believed she did. She wondered why she was in so foul a temper, which seemed to go beyond her usual caprice and irritability. She belched, hammered her chest with a fist to loosen another burp. Maybe it was the spicy food. She sensed bad heartburn coming. She felt a little lightheaded, too. She climbed to the parapet, where she kept the only two flying carpets left in the world. That could be reached only by the route she followed. She would go down there and make those swamp monkeys pay for the heartburn, too. Dinner had been a Nuang Bo ethnic specialty consisting of big, ugly mushrooms, uglier eels, and unidentifiable vegetables in a blisteringly spicy sauce, served upon a bed of rice. It had been a favorite of the Radishes, served often. The kitchens had not changed their routines, because the protector did not care about the menu. The protector belched again. The growing heartburn seared her insides. She jumped on the larger carpet. It creaked under her weight. She ordered it to head downriver, fast. A few miles out, 400 feet above the rooftops, streaking faster than a racing pigeon, sabotaged frame members under the carpet began to snap. Once the first went, the stress became too much for the others. The carpet disintegrated in seconds. A burst of light flared bright enough to be seen by half the city. The last thing Soulcatcher saw, as she arced toward the surface of the river, was a huge circle of characters declaring, "Water sleeps." Just before the flash leaped through his window, a bemused Mugabe discovered a folded, sealed letter on his Spartan cot. Belching, glad he had eaten no more of that spicy food, he broke the wax and read, "My brother unforgiven." Then the unexpected lightning grabbed his attention. He read the slogan in the sky, too. All the labor he had invested in learning to read over the past few years was to be rewarded thus? What now, if the protector was gone? Pretend she was in hiding, too, and make the deceit a double veil? He belched again, settled down on his cot. He did not feel well at all. That was a baffling new feeling for him. He never got sick. Chapter 58. A chatty youngster of native stock and a more than customarily ambitious disposition interviewed us at the military control point we encountered at the southern end of the pass. He was not yet old enough to be pompously officious, but he would get there. Personally, he seemed more interested in foreign news than in contraband or wanted men.
"What's going on up north?" he wanted to know. "We've seen a lot of refugees lately."
He examined